All right, Friday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good as always. Be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Great news with Alex Jones. Alex Jones is back at InfoWars. Love that. I don't get it, just so everybody knows. If Aaron and I were talking about it during the pregame when Alex Jones's video popped up there. I would do a whole expose on it. I was listening to it, but it was hard to kind of piece it together. And to be honest with you, I don't get it, because I know that InfoWars is in what's called federal receivership because of the bankruptcy and him having to give all of assets to the Sandy Hook families. And there's a federal receivership that's in charge of that confiscation of his goods. And somehow the receivership allowed there to be a fraudulent auction. It was a complete faux auction. I don't know. I've never heard of anything like this before. It's in the waning months of the Biden administration here, November, December, January. And I'm still saying I've never seen that before. And you'd be like, it's not a Biden administration. Bull crap, it isn't. The whole thing was instigated by the Biden administration, CIA. They're on video admitting it. We played the video last night of the CIA admitting that they went to the Sandy Hook families and they gave them, quote unquote, a nudge to civilly sue Alex Jones into federal receivership, i.e. bankruptcy. And then somehow the federal receivership allows a fake auction where the Onion comes in. And now everybody knows how an auction works, right? Auction is to the highest bidder. Whatever goods you're auctioning off go to the highest bidder, not the lowest bidder. Otherwise, how would anybody ever win an auction? I'll go lower than that. And somehow the Onion was able to not outbid, but underbid other entities that were there, even those represented by Alex Jones, to buy InfoWars. And they weren't really Alex Jones entities. They were people that were trying to help Alex Jones, not, you know, Alex Jones himself. So how did this work? I don't know, because then the judge today overrules the fake auction and now is holding everybody accountable for the fake auction, but isn't the judge overseeing the federal receivership that put on the false auction? I don't get it. It has to be Biden. I mean, it has to be the Biden administration. I mean, there's no other way to explain it, and it's absolutely crazy. And what's great is, what's really good about all this is hopefully it all gets overturned because of this and he won't have to pay. He can never pay it anyway. The settlement, or what they're forcing him to pay out, the court ordered payout is $995 million to a man who doesn't have $1 million in the bank. I know that because I talked to Alex Jones personally. Now, it was about, probably a year ago, Aaron? Something like that?
Yeah,
somewhere
like that.
In there. Yep. Something like when I was on his show, something like that. And he had no money then. He certainly doesn't have it now.
No.
And the money that they did find that he had was, they actually did a basically a forensic audit of all of his finances, because the attorneys during these various lawsuits in Connecticut and Austin, Texas, were saying that he had $300 to $600 million hidden. And they found out he had zero, and the only money that he had was the money that was actually owed to him by the IRS. The IRS actually owed him $5 million because he overpaid his taxes. And they immediately paid him back, and then he was forced to give that money to the Sandy Hook families that he, quote-unquote, defamed when it's impossible to defame dead people. You're like, God, Tom, this makes no sense. This is the country that we live in. Please understand that most of what you see, if you live in the state of Florida, what you see in the state of Florida as far as federalism, democracy, constitutional republic is real. It's real, okay? And to some degree in Texas, and I could go on and on and on with different states, that the various degrees of how real federalism, capitalism, constitutional democracies, republics are in these various states. Florida's right now the best, obviously. Right now, I give up. I was going to say day whatever of counting votes. I guess they're never going to be counted. when are all these votes going to be counted? There's 1.7 million ballots that haven't been counted in California yet. Okay, folks, it's Friday. We're 10 days past the election, and California hasn't counted 1.7 million votes. I don't think we have decisions on Alaska yet, various other seats. Alaska? Why do I say Florida's so great? Because I knew who won Florida 1 hour and 20 minutes after the election, after the polls closed.
Yeah.
1 hour and 8:20, I knew who won the election. And we have 23 million people live here. And Alaska doesn't. California doesn't. Pennsylvania doesn't. We have no idea. So I'd love to keep putting out titles like I did post Helene, you know, Helene recovery day six, day seven, day eight, when FEMA's doing absolutely nothing and to this day has still done nothing. I see all the times going on in the chat right here. I'm saying it right now, 10:15. Aaron laughs at it. 10:15. I'm telling you, 10:15. 10:15. There we go. Mark my words.
Nah.
10:15. But anyway, so I guess it's not helping myself because I'm already at 9:15 and I haven't even gotten any slides yet. So anyway, I'm happy to see Alex Jones is back at InfoWars. You know, they're trying to do all sorts of things to him, trying to actually take his name. You can't take his name under a federal receivership. How do you do, Tatey? How do you take somebody's name? But this is the essence of lawlessness. This is the essence of voting in people who have absolutely no respect for human beings, have no respect for laws. And then those people who have no respect for laws are going to claim that Donald Trump is going to run a lawless regime and hunt down his political opponents and weaponize the DOJ. The very people have already done all of those things. The only people, remember, the only time in history we've ever had a prosecution of a former administration was under the Democrats, i.e. the Biden administration. That's never happened in history before. And those same people are accusing Donald Trump of eventually weaponizing the DOJ when he takes power. So, I mean, it's truly amazing the audacity of these people. All right, let's fly through the appointments here. Trump-Vance transition. Here we go. President Trump announces Caroline Leavitt as White House press secretary. I'm not going to read everything about it today. The 45th and 47th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, announced Caroline Leavitt will serve as White House press secretary. Some of you may know who she is. Some of you may not. Another excellent pick. Absolute bulldog. This is a fire breather. This is somebody that you want. This is better than anybody that we've had. I mean, I liked Sarah Huckabee. Who's the one on Fox News?
Kayleigh McEnany.
I can never remember her name. I don't know why I watch her all the time. I don't watch. I see clips of her all the time. Kayleigh McEnany. I like them. Stamp of approval. They got it. But Caroline Leavitt's a fire breather. I mean, a real fire breather. Let's go to the next one, Brett. Here she is, just a little example of Caroline Leavitt, Colin Rugg video on CNN. Play for me.
It takes someone 5 minutes to Google Jake Tapper, Donald Trump, to see that Jake Tapper has consistently frequently likened President Trump to Adolf Hitler.
I'm going to stop this interview if you continue to attack my colleagues. I would like to talk about Joe Biden and Donald Trump, who you work for.
Yes.
If you are here to speak on his behalf, I am willing to have this conversation.
I am stating facts that your colleagues have stated in the past.
Okay,
now,
I'm
for
sorry,
this
guys. We're going to come back out to the panel. Caroline, thank you very much for your time. You are welcome to come back at any point. She is welcome to come back and speak about Donald Trump, and Donald Trump will have equal time to Joe Biden when they both join us now at later this week in Atlanta for this debate.
CNN will never let anybody tell the truth on their network. Can't let that happen. Let me say it to everybody in the chat real quick. Regina Loves Art is on. Black Bart 1201 is on. Why Not Me is on. Granite 2468 is on. Bud Dave is on. Tim L. T-Bird is on. Hot Shot Insights is on. Mike Tyson or Jake Paul. My heart is Mike Tyson. Kep Guy 1 is on. Deb Plan is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. SCWA Ratcliffe 1965 is on. I see Tyson's fighting at 10 o'clock. That's cool. Huh? Yeah, maybe they'll have to be off at 10:15. I'm not watching it. But anyway, I mean, I wouldn't be averse to watching it. But anyway, Uncle Wally's on. Confederate One is on. Kev FM1 is on. Naz Yeager's on. Aphrodites is on. Let me see here. Cue the Band is on. Leon Fish Puppy's on. Totsuff is on. Dana 59 is on. Sexy Pony's on. Harley 913 is on. Hark Marvy's on. Peg McGroin is on. Let me see. Hanslick Donovan is on. Nitsua 99 is on. 23 Justin Blake is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Mojave Jeep JT is on. My Broken Heart is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. Gritterdom is on. US Abbey Girl is on. Ab Seeks Truth is on. Let me see here. Luann 5 is on. Q the Band is on. Appreciate you guys. Let's hop right to this. Let's go to the next one. Here we go. Trump just going through the appointments here. Statement from Donald J. Trump. Aaron, can you blow that for me? I don't even know who that is. I think the next one is Doug Burquam, I think.
Yeah, Burquam.
Oh, so this is Burquam, just so everybody knows. I can't. It's too small to read. I don't know why I pulled that one, but Actually, I'll blame that on Aaron. That was sent to me by Aaron. So Aaron, it was Aaron's fault. Just so you know, everybody. I'm thrilled to announce that Doug Burgum, the governor of North Dakota, will be joining my administration as both Secretary of the Interior and as chairman of the newly formed and very important National Energy Council. We're going to reopen Keystone XL pipeline, baby. Doug Burgum, another good choice. Let's just flip right to the next one, guys. We'll get these. Here we go. President Donald J. Trump announces additional White House staff. This is from Mar-a-Lago today. President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, announced additional White House staff. Stephen Chung will return to the White House as assistant to the president and director of communications. Chung was director of communications on the Trump-Vance 2024 presidential campaign. And as Aaron told me, Caroline Leavitt was also the press secretary for the 2024 Trump-Vance campaign. So it's just she's just transitioning from campaign to White House. Sergio Gore will serve as assistant to the president and director of presidential personnel office. In other words, he's going to be doing a lot of hiring. So real important. Sergio Gore has a really, really good reputation. Another fire breather. Heavily endorsed coming out of Bannon's war room. So obviously a good choice. I don't know much about Sergio Gore. I've heard his name before, but I may have just heard it when Bannon was talking about it. And Stephen Chung I've heard before. Don't know too much about him. But anyway, Sergio Gore I know is highly thought of from Bannon's war room. So I'll go with that. All right, let's go to the next one. Ian Yeager tweet. Breaking, President Trump has reportedly refused to have the FBI vet his cabinet nominees. Great choice. This is what you actually have to do. You have to break away from all this institutional swampism. The FBI is nothing more. Remember what the FBI did to him in 2016 going into 2017 with the collusion hoax when they'd actually tapped the phones at Trump Tower, tap the phones at the White House using the one-hop rule. I can't spend too long getting into it. Going through Carter Page, one-hop rule, so they could tap the phones of Trump, his assistants, and everybody else, used the FBI to indict Mike Flynn for FARA violations after their own witness statement said he was guilty of nothing. So, I could spend 30 or 40 minutes on that, but it's old news at this point. It's only old news in that it's already happened. It's not old news in that Strzok needs to go to federal prison. Page needs to go to federal prison. McCabe needs to go to federal prison. James Comey needs to go to federal prison. Rod Rosenstein needs to go to federal prison. And anybody and everybody else, and the chief of staff, I believe it was, for Mike Pence, who helped facilitate the FBI into the building, he or she needs to go to federal prison. All of these people and all of them that lied to FISA courts, they need to go to federal prison. All of them do. That all of them under a conspiracy of rights, all of them under felony perjury, they need to go to federal prison. People are like, no, we have so much to do to turn this country around. You can do it all, folks. Yeah, I mean, you realize that I'm trying to remember what it was that Peter St. Ange said. I have the video. I don't know if I'll get to it tonight, but there's upwards of 3 million people employed. I'm talking about that. I'm not talking about contractors. 3 million people employed by the federal government. I think we can find the personnel. Fire a bunch of people, get them out of the way, use their salaries to hire a bunch of attorneys, and let's prosecute these cases. Put Mike Davis in charge. This is what Mike Davis actually needs to go ahead and assume the name that he's already assumed himself in a joking manner, Viceroy of D.C. And he needs to be in charge of all of these prosecutions. Hillary Clinton needs to spend the rest of her life in federal prison for deleting 30,000 subpoenaed emails. That's not over. Statute of limitations is not run over. Okay, or even if they have, let's change the law and we'll expand the statute of limitations just like they did in NYC so they could civilly sue Donald Trump for that fake rape charge from E. Jean Carroll, that nutsack that she is. But anyway, so that's what needs to happen. I mean, if anybody's out there saying, you know what, we have too much to do, we need to fix the economy, no, you have to do it all. Or, folks, as with everything, the next election is going to be more fraudulent than the one that we just had. And there's massive fraud coming out. Massive fraud going out. We will get to that tonight. There is massive fraud in this election. It was just a little bit too big to rig because of our early voting. Because of our early voting. That's why it was too big to rig. They don't know. They had no idea because they're not allowed to count those early votes until the day of. So they had no idea what we had already stacked up. We had our own phantom ballot bank, but our phantom ballots are actually real. Are actually real. Theirs are actually phantom ballots, phantom voters. So if we don't fix this stuff now, they're going to keep dragging us into court over and over and over again. By us, I mean conservatives. I mean, again, these are the people that are saying that we're going to weaponize the DOJ, and they have already weaponized the DOJ Bannon, Mike Flynn, Peter Navarro, Trump himself, Rudy Giuliani, Alex Jones. They've weaponized either the judicial system or the DOJ or both. I mean, come on. Have you ever seen any president's advisors, former president's high administrative, high-level staffers, his advisors, ever been tried for anything? Ever? I mean, come on. I mean, we could have tried a whole bunch of different staffers, whether it was Hillary Clinton, whether it's Eric Holder from the Obama administration. We didn't do it. But now, here's the thing. Now you have to. There's no moving on. Because if you don't, if their precedent is that we are going to prosecute all former Republican presidents, then we have to. It's not reprisal. It's to get them to stop. Then we have to prosecute all former Democrat presidents, or we're going to keep getting prosecuted until you make them live with their own tactics. Let them reap what they sown. Then they are going to continue to sow it because there's no ramifications for them. There's no repercussions for them at all. So they'll continue to persecute via prosecution, and it has to stop. And the only way to make it stop is to drag them into court themselves, all of them, going all the way back to the Obama administration, going all the way back to the collusion hoax. John Brennan needs to spend the rest of his life in prison. So does James Clapper. So does Joe Biden. So does Hunter Biden. But President Trump, I love this move because this is what you have to do. Total disregard. Turn your back on them, Hezekiah style. Turn your back on them and say, you know what? I don't care. Now they're going to accuse you of not properly vetting your cabinet nominees. Who's going to accuse you of that? Jerry Nadler? Swallows Well? They're going to be the ones who accuse you? Swallows Well, who had a sexual relationship with a Chinese spy, he's going to accuse you of not properly vetting your nominees? Swallows Well is still on the Intel committee. How is that even possible? He's not been vetted very well when you spent a year in the bed of a Chinese spy. Would you agree? So I love it. This is what you need to do. Instead, he's hired his own private investigators. Perfect. Perfect. That's exactly what he needs to do. Turn your back on the establishment. We don't need to fire them up. We don't need to purposely instigate them. We don't need to do any of those things. We just ignore them and prosecute them. Ignore them until the moment they're prosecuted. That's it. Christopher Wray needs to spend the rest of his life in federal prison for what he's done. And there's many others also. Steve D'Antuono, the architect of the Whitmer kidnapping hoax and the architect or the investigator and or architect of the Fed's erection. Nancy Pelosi needs to spend the rest of her life in federal prison. This is what needs to happen. You know what? If they beat the rap, they beat the rap. We need to prosecute them, though. And then we can always say, we can do to them what they've done to Matt Gaetz. Again, make them live with their own policies. Make them live with their own tactics. Because like they do with Matt Gaetz, well, he's been investigated for sex trafficking. Okay, so what? You can investigate anybody for anything. But now you get that tag on you for the rest of your life that you are investigated for sex trafficking. They can do that to you. They can do it to anybody they want. And then they find out, of course, you're not a sex trafficker, but they can always say, well, you were once investigated as sex trafficker. As a sex trafficker. It's like Bongino always says. It's like if you go up to a politician and say to them, do you beat your wife? Oh, absolutely not. I don't beat my wife. Tom Lipley says he doesn't beat his wife. So now for the rest of my life, there's the headline. Tom Lipley says he doesn't beat his wife. That's what they do. So you know what? Just screw all these people. Bye-bye. We'll do our own. Thank you very much. We don't need you, FBI. Bye-bye. Shoo like a gnat. And then absolutely defund the FBI into non-existence. All right, let's go to the next one, Brett. All right, Colin Rugg video. Speaking of the FBI, new former director of the FBI, Andrew McCabe, fumes. So the disgusting criminal fumes over Trump's nomination of Matt Gaetz. So the criminal is disgusted by the nomination of the non-criminal. Play it for me.
I want to start with Matt Gaetz, who is potentially on track here to lead the agency that includes the FBI, where you spent so much of your professional life. What are the implications of having Matt Gaetz as Attorney General?
Good morning, Casey. There are so many things that kind of jump out to you when you hear that the prospect of that nomination. But I think the first thing that really impresses me is what it says about Donald Trump's intention for the Justice Department and the FBI. Now, Matt Gaetz is obviously wholly unqualified for this job. He's someone who, I mean, quite frankly, couldn't get hired by the FBI if he was, had he ever been interested in that, which I'm sure he never was. Probably couldn't qualify for a clearance. Matt Gaetz has, by his own statement, some of those you just played, no interest in the FBI or the Department of Justice, no respect for the work that they do or for the people that do that work. He is singularly a disruptor. He is someone who's been selected because of his interest and desire to go into the organization and tear things apart, you know, likely get rid of people, stop doing a lot of the work that the Justice Department is currently doing. And that is just, you know, we've spent a lot of months debating whether or not Donald Trump actually means the things he says about the Department of Justice and the FBI, whether he's actually going to try to really dismantle those organizations in a serious way. I think the selection of Matt Gaetz is a clear indication of how just how squarely he intends to do that.
All right, now, Andrew McCabe. Aaron, see if you can give me a little pic of Andrew McCabe as I'm yammering on and on here about Andrew McCabe. But anyway, so Andrew McCabe, and then we're going to get into more of Matt Gaetz with an excellent video by Candace Owens today. Many of you have probably already seen it because it went viral, but just in case you didn't, I want to show it to you. So Andrew McCabe says that Matt Gaetz would not qualify for a clearance. Numbnuts? He already qualifies for a clearance because he's a member of Congress. I hate to say, and they keep pulling all this. They keep pulling this with Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi Gabbard is a lieutenant colonel in the Army. She doesn't qualify for a clearance. Matt Gaetz is a sitting congressman who doesn't qualify for a clearance, already has a clearance. And by the way, Tulsi Gabbard has already had top secret security clearances. He says he won't qualify for a clearance. And when he gets to the DOJ, he's going to tear things apart. Good. They need to be torn apart. This is the agency that has raided Mar-a-Lago. I mean, I know there's numerous agencies under the DOJ, but I'm talking mainly DOJ, FBI, ATF. They raided Mar-a-Lago. You had the FBI meet with Donald Trump and say, listen, we have no problem with your top secret documents that you have, but could you put them, even though they're already in a skiff behind Secret Service guns, would you mind padlocking them in a cabinet? Donald Trump padlocks them in a cabinet. Now they're behind a padlock, behind Secret Service, with guns in a skiff. So, for all intents and purposes, a skiff. And then that same FBI raids him 2 weeks later and cuts off the padlock they asked him to put on. Yeah, they need to be fired. And the whole institution needs to be, quote unquote, torn apart. It's a corrupt institution. We have people languishing in prison. Let me just give you a couple examples. And most of you already know this. Probably all of you already know this. We have pro-lifers who sit out in front of an abortion clinic singing How Great Thou Art, doing absolutely nothing but praying, are in prison, federal prison, for 1 to 5 years right now under his grand DOJ for violating the FACE Act. Violating the FACE Act is only if you, by force, keep people from entering the building. Nobody did that. Nobody met the elements of the FACE Act crime. And why is there even a FACE Act to begin with? So they need to be torn apart. This is the DOJ that has been a part of basically every single persecution via prosecution of Donald Trump. NYC, Alvin Bragg, DOJ dispatched Matthew Colangelo to run that prosecution. The DOJ, FBI / White House counsel met with Nathan Wade, Fannie Willis's lover, for 16 hours in the White House. They dispatched Jack Smith to prosecute Donald Trump for his being in lawful possession. You're like, Dom, you mean unlawful? No, they're prosecuting him for being in lawful possession of classified documents under the Presidential Records Act. That was the West Palm Beach case, i.e. the Mar-a-Lago raid case. And then they also dispatched Jack Smith illegally because Jack Smith has never been confirmed by a Senate. So you can't be a special counsel unless you've been confirmed by the Senate. So he's illegal and he needs to be prosecuted into non-existence, litigated into non-existence, sued financially into non-existence, or prosecuted and put in federal prison with everybody else under the statute of conspiracy against rights. And then, of course, Jack Smith was dispatched by the DOJ to prosecute Donald Trump for insurrection, with Judge Tanya Shukin, who needs to be prosecuted and spend the rest of her life in federal prison. And so do many of the judges in the J6 cases need to spend the rest of their lives in federal prison for what they've done. So we need to, quote unquote, tear things apart and get rid of people. Andrew McCabe. Why is Andrew McCabe no longer an FBI agent? Does anybody, or the head of the FBI? Oh, wait. He was fired for leaking classified information. The guy who says that Matt Gaetz would never be able to get a clearance or work for the FBI. He can't work for the FBI either. He was fired for leaking classified information. And then after he leaked it, he got fired for lying about it under oath. And guess what? The statute of limitations hasn't run out on that. So Andrew McCabe, as I said earlier, needs to spend at least years, maybe the rest of his life, in federal prison. Because Andrew McCabe was one of the signers of the fake FISA warrants to wiretap Donald Trump. Right here. Him, Rosenstein, Comey. Right here. They all knew exactly what they were doing. They left out exculpatory material, which, by the way, is a federal crime to do under the FISA court. You don't leave out exculpatory material. And then they were claiming in their FISA warrants that the media is reporting on Donald Trump's collusion with Russia. Well, you know why the media was reporting on Donald Trump's quote-unquote collusion with Russia? Because McCabe told the media that Donald Trump was colluding with Russia. So then they could put in there the media is reporting that Donald Trump's colluding with Russia. See how these people are? He's a disgusting human being. They have this look of validity and credibility. They have this look of sincerity, but they're all frauds, devoid of human dignity, absolutely human fecal piles. That's who he is, a disgusting human being. And a disgusting human being is talking about Matt Gaetz not being able to qualify to work for the FBI or get a clearance to work for the FBI. That disgusting human being is saying that. This disgusting human being should have never been part of the FBI or the DOJ. Speaking of Matt Gaetz, Insurrection Barbie video, I recommend people who want to know the truth, to do their own deep dive into Matt Gaetz. Here's the deep dive. Candace Owens, play for me.
They tried to paint Matt Gaetz like a complete crazy person. You can imagine, remember, the adults are back in charge, right? That this was getting all of the coverage. Another, this Trump ally, he's out here, he's doing this with a 17-year-old girl. And he fought through this. And it sounded like a conspiracy, right? To say that the Department of Justice is using former employees and liaising to try to siphon $25 million from your dad. But Matt Gaetz alleged that the local FBI instructed his dad to wear a wire to record the conversation with the person that was trying to extort them. And guess what? It turned out that Matt Gaetz was telling the truth. In August of 2022, so a little over a year and a half later, Stephen Alford was sentenced to 5 years in prison for a scheme to extort $25 million from the Gaetz family. So you can just imagine the Department of Justice's surprise. Oh my gosh, you're going to nominate now he's in charge of the Department of Justice? You're going to make him the U.S. Attorney General? I love it. I love it, okay? He absolutely must be confirmed. And they're freaking out, and they're being honest about why they're freaking out. They're like, well, then he's going to have access to the files of when we were investigating him. And, like, by the way, we didn't find anything, so it's not a big deal. But we don't want to. This is an insane pick. Why on earth would they allow him in? Yeah, because you realize that he is someone who you are not going to be able to flip into one of your allies because you attempted to ruin his life and to ruin his reputation. And these are exactly the kinds of picks that we mean. I need someone who has a chip on their shoulder about the DOJ. Who?
What she said at the end is perfect. We want somebody who's got retribution on their mind. Not revenge, retribution and vindication. And somebody who wants to mass expose corruption. He has nothing to hide because he wants to expose the people that hate him. That's an easy job, is it not? That's great. You're not going, those people obviously in the DOJ never did anything for Matt Gaetz. So now it's very easy just to go in there and expose them because you owe them nothing. You don't owe them their job. They tried to railroad Matt Gaetz into federal prison. Who actually helped Matt Gaetz? Because it was detached from the DOJ in DC, local FBI agents. The local guys, which have at least a slight propensity to have some measure of integrity. The local guys, they told his dad to wear a wire. What was happening was Stephen Alford was going up to his dad saying, you know what? We have, this is the whole case. Ready? Brent was asking about it. Here's the whole case. Here, I got it right here. Ready? It's as simple as this. I said it last night. This guy, Stephen Alford, was going up to Gates' dad saying, we have evidence that your son trafficked a 17-year-old across state lines that he had sex with. So basically, he's on a plane having sex with a 17-year-old, and they cross from one state to the other, and that's what they call sex trafficking. Not Matt Gaetz has a harem of underage women that he's sex trafficking, I guess, from the halls of Congress, right? That's because they always say sex trafficking. That's what they allegedly did, was that he, this is what Steve Alford, it's Steve Alford, who's he? A former operative for the FBI. Shocking, right? Amazing. He's a former operative for the FBI, former confidential informant for the FBI. Mysteriously ends up in contact, just like Trump's assassin, is an operative for the deep state in Ukraine. Right? Not the one who shot him in the head, the other one. And then we can go a lot into the kid who shot him in the head too. But anyway, I digress. So Stephen Alford is asking for meetings and meeting with Matt Gaetz' dad, saying, I have evidence that your son had sex with a 17-year-old, and while he was having sex with her, they crossed state lines, and the feds might be looking to charge him with sex trafficking. And Alford said, I can get him out of this. How would he be able to do that as an operative for the FBI, right? That probably. So, again, what's the FBI want out of this? To destroy Matt Gaetz, obviously. Have Matt Gaetz resign, because that was probably the way to get him out of it and give Steve Alford $25 million, right? So, local FBI agents, this in this case, white hats, had Matt Gaetz's dad wear a wire. Alford came in and tried to do the extortion scheme on videotape or on audio tape. So Steve Alford was convicted of extortion, is now spending 5 years in a federal prison right now as we speak. And you have news anchors, and I believe former congressmen and women, saying that Steve Alford is Matt Gaetz's co-conspirator. The guy that Matt Gaetz arranged to go on audio tape with so that he would get caught trying to extort his dad is a co-conspirator? How is he a co-conspirator? That's what Matt Gaetz is being accused of. And yeah, I get the other stuff, that the pictures of women he had sex with, whatever, and his stories as a bachelor having sex with them. I don't know about all that yet. As that comes out, if it comes out, I'll deal with it. But you know what? I don't care if it's not a crime. I mean, God cares. And if Matt Gaetz lives in sexual immorality, okay, he's going to die and go to hell for it, just like every liar will, drug addict, alcoholic. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if you don't get forgiveness through the blood of Jesus, you're going to die and go to hell for it. The only way to get forgiveness is to ask for forgiveness and repent of your sins. Most Christians these days, it's just ask for forgiveness and never repent of your sins. And they're going to the same hell as everybody who never ever asked for forgiveness. That's not a digression right there. That's actually more important than anything else I say tonight. So that's the story behind Matt Gaetz. He's called a co-conspirator to the guy he turned in. And the guy, Matt Gaetz, only way that he would be a co-conspirator with Steve Alford if he was trying to extort money from his own dad. Gaetz already owns all that money. Matt Gaetz, his parents are obviously extremely wealthy. That's all Matt Gaetz's money already. Why would he try to extort somebody into money he already has? All right, so here's more on this now. More on Gaetz. Benny Johnson video, Mike Benz, one of the greatest follows. If you really, you want to understand lawfare, you follow Mike Davis. You want to understand the deep state blob, you follow Mike Benz. I'm telling you, I follow them both. Mike Benz predicts destruction of J6 pipe bomber evidence by DOJ officials after Trump selects Matt Gaetz. Listen to this, play for me.
The January 6th Fed surrection was a total cover-up job, top to bottom, by this Justice Department. Everyone knows the reason that the FBI has not updated their public video file list. They said they had 39,000 video files on the pipe bomber. They altered the footage that they uploaded. They knocked it down to one frame per second. They cut the pipe bomber out right before the actual planting of the bomb. Unbelievable what they did there. And then not a single hair follicle disclosed, not a single skin cell from walking around the home court territory of the national security state on foot for 90 minutes, placing phone calls directly from the scene of the crime. We now have reporting from John Solomon's Just the News today, as well as from Congress, that it appears that there actually was cell phone data that was recoverable from the telecom companies of the text messages and phone activity of the pipe bomber. And the Justice Department simply lied and said that those files were corrupted. Mark my words, there's only one reason they have stopped the pipe bomber investigation. And that is because the pipe bomber is a Fed, or the pipe bomber was working with Feds, and they don't want to investigate or have a public prosecution because that would reveal the Fed network that effectuated the pipe bomb fraud. And imagine if Matt Gaetz is unleashed on that. Imagine the size of the scandal when it's publicly discovered that it was actually a federal informant or federal agent or a member of the U.S. military operating in a special deniable operation in tandem with the Justice Department or in tandem with DHS or the FBI, who was responsible for the threat of the mass casualty event on January 6th, whose discovery preceded the breach by 1 minute, 1 minute after the pipe bombs were discovered at the RNC. The perimeter was breached by January 6th. This is why the Capitol chief at the time, Stephen Sund, his explanation was that the pipe bombs were effectively a decoy in order to divert the Capitol Police and DC Metropolitan Police resources to the actual threat, a mass casualty event, which, by the way, somehow the DC fusion cell run by DHS had apparently 3 days advance notice of. And so far as they literally called all the hospitals around DC and said, stock up on extra blood because we're expecting a potential mass casualty event. And then somehow the acting attorney general, Jeffrey Rosen, was 3 days before that same day, January 3rd, 2017, ran a special exercise involving the DHS as well as military folks and FBI folks from Quantico, because they were expecting what they said a potential weapon of mass destruction at the Capitol on January 6th. Well, you know what the technical term for a pipe bomb is in Justice Department parlance? It's a weapon of mass destruction. That is what the Whitmer FedNapping plot folks were convicted of. So how did they know? How did the Justice Department know? Well, the fact is if you see smoke tonight lighting up your sunset, if you live in the DMV area, those are the files of January 6th. Those are the I drives of the pipe bomber investigation lighting up the night sky. So there's going to be, you know, there's going to be marshmallows and barbecue that the whole city will be able to stick a mushroom out your marshmallow out your window, and you will be able to have what's left of the January 6th files of the Justice Department tonight.
Now, why did I put that under the mic, the Matt Gaetz section of the show? Because Matt Gaetz will now have access to all this information. That's why Mike Benn says, you know, look for the fires tonight, because they know Matt Gaetz will now have access to all of the Fed's erection materials. And again, you just look at this, and the only thing I don't, it's funny, at the tail end of that video, talking about the mass casualty event, that strangely, the Feds, the FBI, were able to, maybe Secret Service were able to, I don't think it's Secret Service, but the DOJ, the FBI was able to warn hospitals the day before that there might be a mass casualty event. As if, you know, for me, they were actually talking about, in my opinion, the Fed's erection, not the pipe bombs. Because if you've ever seen pictures of the pipe bombs, any idiot on the planet would know those wouldn't work. They had egg timers on them, folks. Egg timers. They were clearly training devices. There's no way that they work. They're an egg timer with 1 hour of possible elapsed time. So if you were to somehow hook TNT to an egg timer, it would have to go off sometime in the next hour. And allegedly they were supposed to go off during the insurrection the following day, 12 hours after that. It was obviously, this was a fallback position. This is a fallback position in case what they had planned for the Capitol didn't happen, or this was plan A, and then 1-6, the instigation at 1-6 at the Capitol worked, so they called off plan A and went with plan B because of the 200-plus FBI and personnel, FBI assets inside of the J6 crowd instigating the violence. Also, DC Metro Police and Capitol Police instigating the violence, as well as allowing everybody to trespass on properties by removing the warnings for trespassing, removing the bike racks, removing the no trespassing signs. Leon Fishpuppy asked in here, can Ashley Babbitt's killer still be tried? Absolutely. He was only exonerated in internal investigation. He absolutely killed somebody. There is no statute of limitations on that. And Michael Byrd needs to go to federal prison for the rest of his life. He shot a woman, an unarmed 110-pound woman, through the neck with a 9mm for doing nothing. We have two cops in this room, and neither one of us would have ever taken the shot. Why did he even have his gun pointed at her? Why do you have, she's not armed. And again, if you think about this, Brent, I got a Cincinnati cop right here in the room with me. Both of us, retired cops. So here's the thing. He doesn't have to retire. He's young enough. But I'm just saying, he chosen to retire. But anyway, who in the world, if you have cops standing behind the woman, this is the thing. I don't mean to digress into Ashley Babbitt. I can't help it. Leon Fishpup, it's your fault. Say it. Love you. But anyway, you can see you're Michael Byrd. You got your 9mm trained on Ashley Babbitt. And right where you can see, because it's a glass door, that there's Capitol Police standing behind her with their thumbs up their butts. They don't care what she's doing. They're just standing there. So if they're not going to do anything, why would it? And they're armed with AR-15s. They're standing there with full body armor on, the black stormtrooper outfits. They're standing there letting her do it. Why would you shoot her? What threat is she? You have cops behind her. You have you in front of her. What threat is she? Okay, and listen, I don't even agree with what Ashley Babbitt was doing. I don't. But you know what? If you're a cop and you don't agree with what somebody's doing, you know what you don't do? Murder them. Isn't that weird? Like, you know, I over 25 years straight of law enforcement, 1992, 2017. Aaron, would you guess that I saw people do things I didn't approve of?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. You know what I didn't do? Shoot them. Oh, man. You're breaking into a house. Gun them down.
Unarmed.
Yeah, unarmed. Gun them down. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. You're at a fight in the Chili's bar. Gun them down. And Michael Byrd's explanation was, I couldn't see her hands. You know when you don't shoot somebody? When you can't see their hands. You idiot. And this is he's been promoted, just so everybody knows. Isn't that great? Aaron, so we get to spend more of our tax dollars paying Michael Byrd.
Good.
He's no longer Lieutenant Michael Byrd. He's whatever the next rank is with the Capitol Hill Police Department.
Lovely.
So anyway, back on this, just on the pipe bomber stuff. This is why they're so scared, because Matt Gaetz, there it is. That's going to blow something up, folks. I mean, come on. Aaron, blow that up as big as you can make it. Blow it up as big as you can make it on the egg timer, if you can. That's going to actually detonate, folks. Come on. I mean, seriously. This is what you do if you're making a low, not even B-level movie, DF-level movie for an explosive device. And, of course, Aaron, put yourself on. What did they do with this device?
Oh, they blew it up.
They blew it up. Yeah, hey, no evidence, baby. They blew it up. Of course you blew it up.
Oh, my word.
That's what they always do. Let's just blow it up. So now there's 39,000 hours of video footage. They have not updated the video file. And when they released the J6 pipe bomber video, they made it at one frame per what, Aaron? How's that work?
Per second.
One frame per second.
Yeah.
These are high level. By the way, the video footage of the pipe bomber was shot by a human being manning the camera, like Aaron's manning the camera right now. And then they degraded it to one frame per second and then removed the angle that shows him putting down the pipe bomb. And then they have a geofence around this area. And this occurred on one city. There it is right there. How's that going to blow up? How's that? That's the actual pipe bomb right there. That's the actual pipe bomb. One of them. How's that going to blow up 12 hours later? Explain that. I mean, these people, it's like Bongino says, this is not James Bond. This is not James Bond. Okay. These are idiots. I mean, Andrew McCabe, James Comey, Rod Rosenstein, these are idiots. These are federal law enforcement officers who have never, ever handled a police call in their life. They've never tackled anybody to the ground and put handcuffs on them. Never gotten a fist fight trying to put somebody in handcuffs. Yes, ask Brent, you ever been in a fist fight putting people in handcuffs? Yeah, you know why? Because it's been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of calls. Yeah. Me too. Okay? I mean, that's the thing. I've been jack-slapped by a woman. I mean, wham! I was trying to put her in handcuffs. Okay? So that's the way that it is. They never done any of these things. So in their mind, Their concept of law enforcement, you're like, Tom, this is the top law enforcement agency on the planet. No, they're not. They just call themselves that. I call myself right now. I'm calling myself the number one podcaster on the planet. Bongino, I have 200,000 people watching them. I have 914, but I name it. You know what? I'm saying I'm number one. That's for the FBI. We're the best law enforcement. No, they're not. They're idiots who've never answered a police call in their life. That's why they lose every shootout they get into. They suck. They're terrible. They have no police. They have no officer safety techniques. They don't understand lawful use of force. They don't understand that, you know what, if you're going to say that somebody planted a pipe bomb to go off the next day while they were talking about what to do with this election, where they're talking about doing forensic audits, kicking it back to the electors, kicking it back to the states for forensic audits, so that this thing would go off during that time, how's it going to go off when it's an egg timer with a 1 hour time limit? I mean, these are the people telling you to wear masks. These are the quote unquote experts. Have you never noticed the quote unquote experts have no expertise in anything? The expert Anthony Fauci, who's never cured an illness in his life and has never seen a patient, just like McCabe, Comey, Rosenstein, and Ray, have never arrested anybody in their life. And they're the chief law enforcement agents of the United States of America, the number one police agency in the world, who have never arrested anybody in their lives. They've never gone into houses like Brett and I do with two screaming people. They're all bloodied up because they beat the crap out of each other, and you got to do something. They never handled a situation like that alone. He and I have been in a house, you're alone. You got two screaming people or three, four screaming people. You're by yourself, and you got to do something. Someone's going to die. You're going to die. You better do something. They never had to handle these things. They do these things. This is what they do. They couldn't run an Applebee's. They have no clue what they're doing. This is what they do. They put this out. So they told us now, leave this up. I just love that. That's great. It makes me mad. So it just keeps the fire burning. So they tell us now, because this was all on January 5th of 2021 and January 6th of 2021, right? This is when this all occurred. So now it is November what, Aaron?
It is the 15th.
It's November 15th of 2024. And they told us for 3 years, John Solomon reporting, and this is about 3 days old, that there was all the cell phone data. Aaron, make sure that my verbiage is correct.
Yeah.
That the cell phone data was corrupted. That's what they said.
Yeah.
That for the pipe bomber, the geo tracking, the geo fence in that area, for some reason, they see the phone calls, but all the information was corrupted. They've told us that for 3 years. You know what was just discovered? Strangely, that it was never corrupted. So they can track who this person is. All you need now is a very simple subpoena for phone records to whatever cell phone service that is. Say it's Verizon. They do them at the sheriff's office all the time. Subpoena the people's phone records. And you know what Verizon has to do? Give them to you. So that's all they got to do now. And we'll find out who this person is. And this is why they're freaking out about Matt Gaetz. What they wanted was a globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist, and plenty of Republicans meet that requirement. Globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist. They wanted another Jeff Sessions. Let's bring in Jeffrey Sessions. He looks like a Republican. Let's bring him in. Let's bring in Billy Barr. Let's bring in Trey Gowdy so that they will cover up for the FBI. And whoever planted this bomb, because this was part of the Fed surrection. So lo and behold, think about this. If the FBI was actually an institution of integrity, we should have this person in handcuffs this weekend. If you're gonna, how hard is it to find this person? Okay, he's on videotape and you can track him to any car. He got into a car or got onto a bus somewhere. Very easy to track because every square inch of Washington, D.C., because he's at the RNC and the DNC, is tracked by video cameras, not to mention he made numerous phone calls, probably to his FBI handlers, if he was an FBI agent himself. You're like, Tom, it can't be that corrupt. It is that corrupt. Believe me. All right, Peter St. Ange video. CNN, feeling of dread as federal workers fear mass layoffs. Play for me.
In a very satisfying headline, CNN is reporting a widespread, quote, feeling of dread among the million-strong federal bureaucracy that Donald Trump will fire them. In case you're curious why they used your tax dollars to try and steal an election. CNN kicks off how the federal workforce is, quote, on edge and bracing for the likelihood its ranks will be purged, we can only hope. In particular, they're terrified Trump will impose an executive order known as Schedule F, which would give him the power to hire and fire tens of thousands of bureaucrats who are in a, quote, policy determining or policy advocating position. Estimates range between those tens of thousands up to 50,000, which is a solid start to draining the swamp, particularly given policy-advocating bureaucrats are the mothership of deep state resistance. CNN breathlessly calls it the biggest change since 1883, which is when the modern independent bureaucracy, the deep state, was born. Now, mass firings won't happen on day one for a couple reasons. First, the left and the deep state will deploy lawfare on a mass scale to shield the bureaucrats who feed them grant money so they can riot. Lawfare means it's got to be done very carefully. Second, because Trump doesn't necessarily have to fire all 50,000, the mere threat that he could fire them will concentrate minds, among otherwise hostile bureaucrats, clutching their gold-plated benefits and pensions. For this, we can look back to one of the greatest presidents in American history, Andrew Jackson. By the way, Trump kept a bust of Jackson right behind him in the Oval Office his first term, so he does pay attention to history. Now, Jackson, like Trump, was a populist up against near-universal opposition among the elite and the federal workforce. Of course, in 1830, it was a much smaller government with roughly 5,000 federal employees, since there was no income tax and no Federal Reserve. Still, they were united in opposition to the populist Jackson. So how did he win them over? Easy. He fired about 1 in 5. The rest fell in line. Now, given Elon Musk wants to cut $1 in $3 from the federal budget and his Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, we may be looking at even better numbers. Meaning even that dreaded Schedule F is merely the first sentence of the first chapter of a wholesale government retreat in the face of the people. Now, going by Trump 1.0, the bureaucrats will fight everything they've got using a raft of civil service privileges imposed over the past century. But the Constitution is very clear. Article 2, Section 1 vests all executive power in one single person, the sitting president. The two main Supreme Court cases that interpret it said he can fire any political appointment, that's Myers 1926, and a 1935 case, Humphrey's executor, saying he can fire anybody in a so-called executive agency, which is nearly 97% of federal workers. Put them together and the Constitution says whatever pretty laws Congress passes to shield bureaucrats from voters, Trump can fire roughly 2.9 million out of the 3 million federal workers. Beyond the opportunity to use former bureaucrats to pick fruit when illegals go home, a 97% headcount reduction should give Elon lots to work with on his way to cutting $2 trillion in spending. So what's next? Brought to you by Unchained.com. In many ways, Trump 1.0 got played by the deep state, but their sheer savagery these past 4 years has opened his eyes. Millions of deep state minions are now right to feel a deep sense of dread as they dust off the resume and consider what useful things they might do in life. Read the rest with charts and all the gory details at Prof. St. Ange.
Make sure you follow Peter St. Ange. She is awesome. But anyway, just real quick on this. I love why not me puts fire 5 and 5. I agree. Because again, what have any of these 3 million federal employees ever done for you? What do they do all day? And by the way, I can't remember. I hate when I can't give due credit, but if you go back, it may have been Benny Johnson. I can't remember. But anyway, you go into D.C. now, and you know there's still a large percentage, I can't remember the percentage, of federal employees still working from home, working remotely because of COVID. I'm not kidding. A lot of federal employees never report to the office because of the fear of COVID. To this day, that is akin to, I'm not going to go outside because of a thunderstorm 7 years ago. I'm still not going outside because a thunderstorm could get me. That's what's going on. So what have these federal employees ever done? And now when you go to, Aaron, make sure I get the, see if you can remember. How many Twitter employees were fired by Elon Musk? Was it 80%?
I think it was something like that. Yeah, it was between 70% and 80%.
78%.
Yeah.
He went in and fired basically everybody.
Yeah.
From Twitter. Fired them all. And it's gotten better. Twitter's a way better platform now than it was when there was 100% of the employees there. Hey, we just popped 1,000. Glad we got 1,000 people tonight. It was kind of, something's going on. People must be watching something tonight. But anyway, so now you have Elon, Vivek Ramaswamy in charge of DOGE, and how many people could be cut? I mean, Elon's trying to cut one out of every $3, 33% of the federal budget gone. You know what? You know how much you and I would notice if they cut 50% of the federal government? You know how much Brent would notice, Aaron would notice, I would notice? Nothing. They don't do anything for us anyway. I'm sitting here right now. in a sort of a FEMA zone right now because we were hit hard by Milton and Helene, and everybody's crap's still sitting on the road right now. What have they done? How long ago was Milton, Aaron? I don't know.
Oh, gosh.
A month ago? Yeah. And it's all still sitting on the road. And they hadn't picked up all the Helene stuff before Milton because when Milton hit, all the Helene stuff went floating down the road. FEMA didn't do squat. So what have they ever done for us? So he needs to go in there. I mean, unleash Elon Musk, namely. Vivek, I don't trust as much. Unleash Elon Musk. Vivek may prove me wrong. I hope he does. But unleash Elon Musk to fire whoever he wants to fire. And as Peter St. Ange says, the federal court precedent is you can fire whoever you want. Fire them. And let them cry about it. And then what do you do then after you fire 5,000 of them, Aaron? What do you do? Fire 10,000 the day after.
Yeah. Yep.
And then after that, fire 15,000 the day after. And we actually schedule it that way. So the media is playing whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
They don't know what to cover. All right, let's go on to this one. Vigilant Fox video. Elon Musk calls to defraud, to defund. We're switching to the Elon Musk section of the show now. Elon Musk calls to defund NPR after shocking Orwellian clip resurfaces. Play for me.
Elon Musk calls for defunding NPR after Orwellian clip of the CEO resurfaces online. It goes on to explain that in what could be a foreshadowing of his new job in cutting government spending, Elon Musk is calling for the defunding of the National Public Radio. Musk's declaration was sparked by a video of the organization's CEO, which can be seen below. Conservatives have long been calling for the defunding of NPR, which is explicitly leftist. Check this out. Here's the original video. Watch it for yourself. Tell me what you think about why we're funding an organization where the CEO speaks like this.
Reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
I think our reverence for the truth might be preventing us from getting things done. Now, that being said here, it goes on to explain, and this is what Elon Musk said in his retweet, should your tax dollars really be paying for an organization run by people who think the truth is a distraction? This is not the first time Elon Musk condemned Catherine Mayer, I think this is what it is, for disgusting comments. Elon also called NPR to be defunded in April after his first hearing the clip. And it turns out that I agree.
So there you go. So the head of NPR says that reverence for the truth, basically saying that the truth really matters, the truth is incredibly important. Reverence for the truth is a distraction and a hindrance for getting things done. I always say this to Christians or alleged Christians, churchgoers. That's like Christians not letting the Bible get in the way of their doctrine. Not letting the Bible get in the way of their own malformed morality. According to the Aaron paid for, Brent paid for, you're paid for, my paid for, NPR, National Public Radio, the head of the NPR says reverence for the truth is a distraction and a hindrance to getting things done. That sounds like Justin Trudeau, who wants a pure dictatorship that he admires under Xi Jinping, the person and government that he admires the most. Because when you are a pure dictatorship, quote, for Justin Trudeau, you can really get things done. So you don't want, at NPR, you don't want any reverence for the truth. You don't want the truth to get in the way of you lying your way into getting things done. And we're funding that? I love this one. This one I put in just for fun. Sebastian Gorka video. Elon Musk shuts down this reporter. Play for me.
Honestly, I would just can this whole bill. Don't pass it. That's my recommendation.
What about the support, though, for the charging network? I mean, there are parts of this bill.
No? Do we need support for gas stations? We don't. There's no need for support for a charging network. I would delete it. Delete.
Okay. All right.
I'm literally saying get rid of all subsidies. Also for oil and gas.
Think about also how this affects your competitors.
I mean, maybe they need it. I don't know. I'm in favor of deleting subsidies. I mean, when we started Tesla, there were no EV subsidies at all, and gasoline was super cheap. The $7,500 tax credit came as a result not of Tesla activity, but of General Motors lobbying for it. I would just say delete them all.
There are some other good things in this bill, some would argue. I mean, a lot of money earmarked for R&D. Would you want to put that towards something?
No.
Okay. All right. We're going to move on from the bill because I think we get what you're saying on it.
In general, if we don't cut government spending, there's something really bad's going to happen. This is crazy. Our spending is so far in excess of revenue. It's insane.
That's how you know somebody is not bought and paid for by the deep state cesspool of Washington, D.C. He is saying, don't subsidize my own business. That's how you know. It'd be like, you know what, if you were a teacher and you voted against another tax referendum for the school board because you know that they're just wasting the money in the school boards, which they are. We're like the worst school system in, well, definitely in the Five Eyes countries, in the top four industrial countries in the world. We're like number 34. So you don't need more money being spent on that. You need less money being spent and it being spent correctly instead of on DEI programs and racial relations programs, which I saw for myself. Well, I was part of the school system. But anyway, so you know that a man is a man of integrity when he is saying, I don't want any government subsidies. The people who wanted government subsidies for EVs was not Tesla. It was General Motors. It was General Motors. Elon Musk has never asked for subsidies. So again, they don't have him by the balls either. Because they normally, didn't you ask? They were saying this for people who were against PPP money, COVID money, being given to individuals and businesses. Didn't you take COVID money? Didn't you take it? Yeah, after they were forced to shut down. After you forced them to shut down, it was either PPP or bankruptcy, so they took the PPP money. So again, that's just how they leverage you. But Elon, they can't say that to Elon. You took subsidies. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He didn't take any subsidies at all. He may have government contracts via SpaceX, but he doesn't have any subsidies at all. And I love it. You don't want subsidies for a charging network? Aaron, let's break this one down again, shall we? So he had the Biden administration's charging network that they were going to put out. Remember, they put out $8 billion.
Yeah.
Remember that? $8 billion for, I can't remember how many charging stations they were going to put out, but it was a lot. So they were going to put out thousands of charging stations for $8 billion. You got something for me?
No, I'm just looking.
You're just lingering. Stay lingered. You're good. You can stay and hang in there till you find something.
$7.5 billion. Yeah.
$7.5 billion.
Yep.
For see if you can find how many charging stations.
Yep, looking.
And now Aaron already has the total for how many were built because it was less than seven.
Yeah.
Not less than 7,000. Less than seven. Go.
They were supposed to buy 500,000.
That's what I thought, but I was afraid to say it because I'm like 500,000.
Half a million.
Yeah, we got half a million charging stations they were going to do, and I was afraid to say it because it sounded outlandish to me.
Seven.
So they accomplished seven, and that was funded in 2021, and so far they've built seven. So Elon Musk says, delete the program.
Yeah.
Delete the program. We don't need it. You're like, charging network would that would cause Tesla stock to go through the roof if there was charging stations everywhere. Because our expert here in the room of driving electric vehicles, Brent, he's our expert at driving his relatives' electric vehicles. But, you ask anybody. Okay, people will say, I drove my electric vehicle across the country. You ask anybody who actually drives an electric vehicle on a regular basis, you have to get in lines to the charging stations.
Yeah.
It's absolutely a waste of time. This would have caused Tesla stock to go through the roof. That there's charging stations everywhere. You don't have to waste waiting. Not only that, but when I go and fill up my F-250 and it's empty, I think. What do you think they have, Aaron? What do you think the F-150s and 250s have? 20-gallon tanks? Something like that?
Between 20 and 30. Yeah.
20, 30-gallon tanks. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, I stand there for, I think, a total of about 4 minutes. By the time I pull in, put the thing in there and fill it up, right? Put my car, gone, 4 minutes. You got to stand there for 30 to 50 minutes to charge your car. What sense does that make? What sense does that make at all? And by the way, it's just a simple way, but just so you know, the whole electric vehicle program that Elon Musk wants to delete through all these government subsidies, that program is to build they don't even build the infrastructure. They tell everybody, switch to electric vehicles, and they don't have the infrastructure to charge those vehicles, so you end up with a vehicle you can't drive. And then you have to go to public transportation because that public transportation, those electric vehicles will be charged if they don't spontaneously combust in the middle of the road. So everybody actually has a vehicle that they can't drive, so then once again, they've controlled you, put you into a 15-minute city and control your movements because you have a vehicle because leverage you into one world commerce system, singular access point, controlled by them, right? That they give you, they mandate that you buy an electric vehicle, that there's, and after you buy it, you discover that you can't charge. So they mandate you to buy a vehicle you can't charge. Because there's no infrastructure to charge these things. And as Aaron just said, they put in $8 billion to build 500,000 stations. It's all an illusion. Where'd the $8 billion go? And they built seven stations in 21, 22, 23, and 24 years. Seven. By the way, that hasn't been updated. You think if we were so wrong, they would come, no, we built 12 stations. No, they haven't even updated it. They aren't even trying to fix it. So it's all a fraud to get people into cars they can't fuel up. so they control your movements. Go, Aaron.
And to your point with the whole not having the infrastructure, it was like California that passed that bill saying that they were going to outlaw all gasoline cars. And then months after they signed that bill, they had brownouts in California.
There's no infrastructure to charge the cars. If you get a charging station in your home, it uses four times the amount of power than your air conditioner. How are you going to pay for that? And what's the facade of it all is you're going to save the planet by transferring CO2 emissions from your tailpipe to the power station. It's the same amount of CO2 emissions, whether they come out of your tailpipe via an internal combustion engine or the power station having to send the power to charge electric vehicles. It makes no sense. These people are idiots. They really are. And it's only, listen, how much of an idiot do you have to be to follow an idiot? Watch the movie Dumb or Dumber. Dumb and Dumber. Who's more stupid now going to Star Wars? The idiot or the idiot who follows him? All right, let's go to this one. Still talking about appointments. Now we got past Elon Musk. Now we're going into the appointment lawsuit section of the show, as I'm now 20 seconds over my estimated time. Greg Price video. Here's Debbie. Now, all of these people, here it is. That's my lawsuit section. It's just two, three slides here. All of these people, starting with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and then I'll just go video to video. They need to be sued into non-existence for defamation for saying things like this. Greg Price video. Play for me, Brent.
Tulsi Gabbard is someone who has met with war criminals, violated the Department of State's guidance, and secretly, clandestinely went to Syria and met with Assad, who gassed and attacked his own people with chemical weapons. She's considered to be essentially, by most assessments, a Russian asset, and would be the most
dangerous. Is that how you consider her? Is that what you consider
yes.
her?
Oh, yes. There's no question.
Now, if Alex Jones can be sued into financial oblivion, financial destruction, because he allegedly, which he didn't do, if you watch what he said about Sandy Hook, he didn't do any of the things they allegedly did. And then he wasn't allowed to actually show those video programs of him not doing what they said they did. They weren't allowed in a trial, the exculpatory material. That's the state of our judiciary system, both civilly and criminally, in the United States of America. But if you can be sued into financial oblivion, as Alex Jones or as Rudy Giuliani was by Shea Moss and Ruby Freeman, they also didn't allow in the exculpatory materials in there, didn't allow him to put on a defense. Then why can't we... Because that, we can pick a state, because that was seen all over the country. So I felt like Tulsi Gabbard could pick any state that she wants. Shall we choose one? I got a choice for you right here. Choose right here and sue Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who's also from Florida, into financial oblivion for calling you a Russian asset. Do you consider the MSNBC host or CNN, whoever it was, says, do you consider her to be a Russian asset? This is a lieutenant colonel in the United States Army. A former member of Congress, and at the time, a member of the Democratic Party up till like 2 weeks ago. Debbie Wasserman Schultz calls her a Russian asset. So if you can sue Rudy Giuliani into financial oblivion via defamation lawsuit for saying that Ruby Freeman and Shea Moss put the same votes in the same machines over and over again, which they did, then you could easily sue Debbie Wasserman Schultz into financial oblivion for calling you a Russian asset. And Tulsi Gabbard must do it. Donald Trump today launched a $10 billion lawsuit against MSNBC, CNN, New York Times for aiding and abetting basically election fraud. Because here's the thing, if you're going to be an asset for an election, then the campaign has to pay you. So if you're going to suppress or enhance or actually promote a candidate as a journalist, then you have to be part of that campaign, because you're not a publisher. I mean, you're a publisher, not a platform. So he's suing all of these. He's suing all, not all, but he's suing various media platforms, and that he's launched that lawsuit either today or yesterday. All right, let's go to the next one. Colin Rugg video. And so anyway, Debbie Wasserman Schultz needs to be sued for defamation. Colin Rugg video, new lawyer Maya Wiley defames Pete Hegseth. Play it for me.
Because let's remember, like when we're talking about the secretary here, when and Hegseth and his white supremacist extremist tattoos on his body, he is also a person. If he is in this job, who will be having the discussion with Donald Trump about sending the military into communities to police U.S. citizens. This is something that Donald Trump has said explicitly.
So Pete Hegseth has white supremacist tattoos. Aaron showed us all of his tattoos last night. He has none. So he has zero tattoos, zero racist tattoos on his body. He has cross. He has
We the people.
Okay. So there's no racist tattoos. So, quote, lawyer Maya Wiley needs to be sued into oblivion. If Pete Hegseth doesn't do it, she's going to do it again. If you don't take care of these people and sue them into oblivion, everybody who says that Matt Gaetz is a sex trafficker needs to be sued into financial oblivion for defamation. If you don't do it, then what we do, and you know, you've heard this a million times on this podcast, then you have Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill. That worked for them to some extent. So, of course, then they had Christine Blasey Ford for Brett Kavanaugh. And that pseudo worked for him to defame him. How does it work? Because Clarence Thomas never sued Anita Hill. Why? There's no evidence that he ever did anything inappropriate with that woman. None. No witnesses, no dates, no crimes, nothing. Same thing with Blasey Ford towards Brett Kavanaugh. She raised $600,000 under PayPal to pay herself for what she did. So that's an extortion scheme. So anyway, so if you don't take care of it, you go from Anita Hill to Brett Kavanaugh, E. Jean Carroll. Donald Trump, I believe, is suing E. Jean Carroll. So she needs to be sued into financial oblivion for falsely accusing him. It's the same thing criminally. You don't file false police reports. You file false police report, that is a felony crime. You say somebody raped you, somebody robbed from you, somebody stole from you, and you are purposely lying on a police report, that is a felony. These people must be brought to heel, or they're going to do it over and over and over again because it's proved to be effective for them in defaming people, and their defamation has no consequences for them. So they do it over and over again. They sue us for defamation, but we don't sue them. So they feel free to do it over and over again. Here's another one. Defiant L's video. Tulsi Gabbard doesn't waste a second. Here she is on The View. Play it for me.
I want to start with something that I think is also important about facts, because recently on your show here...
I was just going to get to that.
Good. Yeah. Helping you out. Some of you have accused me of being a traitor to my country, a Russian asset, a Trojan horse... Or a useful idiot, I think was the term that you used, which basically means that I'm naive or lack intelligence to know what's going
on. They use that. I guess we're getting a little bit far ahead of ourselves, but Franklin Graham finds you refreshing. He doesn't find me refreshing. Richard Spencer, the white nationalist leader, says he could vote for you.
Joy, this is why
I mean, you're on Tucker Carlson at least 10 times. Why don't you go on Chris Wallace's show?
This is why I'm here, because you and other people continue to spread these innuendos that have nothing to do with who I am.
You called her the queen of warmongers.
You double down. Unfortunately, you double down on the baseless accusations that she made that strikes at the core of who I am. I'm a soldier.
We actually have the clip of Hillary Clinton. Just to put this in context of what we're talking about, let's take a look at that.
I'm not making any predictions, but I think they've got their eye on somebody who's currently in the Democratic primary and are grooming her to be the third-party candidate. She's the favorite of the Russians. That's assuming Jill Stein will give it up, which she might not, because she's also a Russian... asset.
So really, I mean, this is outrageous. This is outrageous and offensive on so many levels. It's offensive to me as a soldier, as an American, as a member of Congress, as a veteran, and frankly, as a woman.
So again, if right wingers, conservatives and Republicans can be sued for any measure of defamation into financial oblivion, Alex Jones, Donald Trump, And although you're like, he's not financial, listen, $500 million settlement and $500 million for faux real estate fraud, fake real estate fraud charges, civil charges. I can't remember what the E. Jean Carroll settlement was, $100 million, $300 million, whatever it was. So almost $1 billion in civil settlements against Donald Trump. So for most people, that would be financial oblivion. So Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, and then the other people prosecuted to financial oblivion because you have to pay for attorneys and you have to go to one hearing after another, one deposition after another, and you're going against the federal government who has a $7 trillion budget and you have $1 million, you have $500,000 and you get sued or prosecuted into financial oblivion. If they're not made, if Hillary Clinton, because she's the false accuser, she's the defamatory character in this particular instance where she calls Tulsi Gabbard and Jill Stein. Jill Stein is a Russian asset. Now, Hillary Clinton, it's so funny. Hillary Clinton, who herself, via the Bill and Hillary Clinton Foundation, received $120 million from Uranium One, a Vladimir Putin-run Russian company, to sell our uranium, 20% of the United States uranium stock, to Uranium One. As Secretary of State, she approved all that. So she, as a Russian asset, is claiming everybody else to be a Russian asset. And then Bill Clinton gets paid $500,000 for a speech in Moscow. But were the Russian assets? Tulsi Gabbard's a Russian asset? She herself received $120 million from Vladimir Putin via Uranium One? And were the Russian asset? Did Tulsi Gabbard ever receive any money from Uranium One? Has she ever received? Did Hunter Biden, $3.5 million from the former mayor of Moscow's wife, who's the richest woman in Russia or richest woman in Moscow? Can't remember which. Did Tulsi Gabbard ever receive any of this money? And they call Tulsi Gabbard a Russian asset? The audacity of these people is really unlimited. It knows no bounds. But Tulsi Gabbard needs to sue Hillary Clinton. People are like, oh, we want to rise above. Okay, if you rise above and you're like, we're not going to do it, they're coming for you again. And eventually what will happen is that Donald Trump, if he didn't win this election, okay, he would have been sentenced on the 26th of this month to Rikers Island. Okay, he could spend the rest of his life. And those are those 34 felony counts with 91 more Jack Smith's got in the Hummer waiting for him. So if he didn't win the election, rest of his life in prison, they would have come back after Mike Flynn too. Because Mike Flynn owns a bunch of their secrets and he knows where the skeletons are buried. If we don't win this election, Navarro, Bannon, Trump, prison, all the various Trump attorneys disbarred for life. If you don't take care of it now, we will all of our people, including potentially further down the rung. We like to start with Donald Trump. Donald Trump always says they're coming after me to get through me to get to you. Eventually, they end up putting us all in their COVID camps. And I'm just using the term COVID because they're the only ones who actually are Hitlerian. They always claim that Trump's going to weaponize the DOJ, that Trump's going to weaponize DOJ against his political opponents. The only people that have weaponized DOJ against the political opponents are the people accusing Donald Trump of weaponizing DOJ against his political opponents, which he never did. We already have a four-year Petri dish. We already have a four-year experiment, 17 to 21, of Trump not doing anything that they accuse him of doing or accusing him of potentially doing. I have to show you this one. Gosh, dog, is it really 10:27? What happened to, oh man.
10:43 is coming.
I'm not doing 10:43.
10:43.
I'm not doing 10:43. 15 more minutes. I got to show you this one though. This is too entertaining. And I got to show you one other thing at least after this. It's too big. All right. Insurrection Barbie video. This is just too funny. This is why we have to have a new administration. Watch this video. I'm not even going to intro it because I want it to have the same shock value on you as it did on me. Play for me, Brent.
What's the amount?
Well, it's over $50 million, and Joni Ernst, senator from Iowa, is a true hero of taxpayers. She got the inspector general to do this study, and we found that the IRS has been given now almost $80 billion of more money, no reform, no taxpayer protections, and the single vote that gave them all that lovely money was Kamala Harris. This is going to be a presidential issue. The IRS agents are not paying their own taxes, some 500 of them with massive problems, including not paying taxes, but other things as well, were fired. You go, oh, good. They were brought back. Okay, you can get even fired. It's tough to get fired, but when you get fired, they still bring you back at the IRS. This is an agency that's run amok and needs not more money, but it needs some internal discipline and more people getting fired permanently.
Let's show the numbers. So this is a presidential race issue because you're saying Senator Kamala Harris was the vote that broke the tie, I guess, or whatever it was, to get more IRS audits and get that more money to the IRS. So this recent audit by the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration finds nearly 6,000 IRS workers and IRS contractors owe close to $50 million in overdue taxes. Nearly 150,000 government workers overall owe $1.5 billion. Talk to us more about Senator Harris's involvement in more IRS audits.
Well, she, as vice president, there was a 50-50 split in the Senate, and she voted, yes, we are going to have more money for the IRS to hire more people with no reforms at all. This is one of the stories that the inspector general has found out. The IRS has been destroying documents. The IRS has thousands of weapons. And most of the time when the weapons go off, it's by mistake, okay? The people who are supposed to take weapons training don't. Each of these reports comes out, and the government and the IRS ignores what the American people can read is wrong with the IRS. And Kamala Harris says, you know what? They need more money.
Okay, so they get...
All right, so there you go. I just had to show you that because I found that today, and that was absolutely shocking to me. 150,000 employees across various federal agencies, including the IRS themselves, many IRS agents owe $1.5 billion in overdue taxes. You actually had IRS employees fired for not paying their taxes, never did pay their taxes, and then were rehired. That's the state of our federal government right now. They're just trying to, Trump will put an end to it, but they just financed via budget, via the budget, hiring 87,000 more IRS agents to not pay their taxes. And then put, so those IRS agents that are not paying their taxes are going to put people in federal prison for 1 to 10 years for not paying their federal taxes. Al Sharpton owes millions of dollars in back taxes. Nobody ever touches the man. Nothing. And the most severe financial tax evasion charges against Hunter Biden, they purposely, via Matthew Graves and the rest of the corrupt D.C. circuit, allowed the most severe tax charges against Hunter Biden to expire via the statute of limitations, which, of course, we can change when we get in power and then bring those charges back on to Hunter Biden, which is what should happen because that's what they do to us. And they need to reap what they've sown, or we're going to keep reaping it. Or we're going to keep on receiving it over and over again. They're never going to stop unless we make them live with their own policies, live with their own actions. All right, have to show you this one. Have to show you this one. Eric Doherty video, new Democrat on the House floor. His name is Rep. Wiley Nickel. That's his name, Wiley Nickel.
Wiley.
Yeah, Wiley. New Democrat on the House floor, Wiley Nickel, melts down over Trump's cabinet picks. Listen to what he says. Suggests Democrats create their own shadow cabinet. This is from the Defenders of Democracy. This is from the people who said you should never deny an election. These are the people that claim Donald Trump is a threat to democracy who now want to form their own shadow cabinet. Play it for me.
If Trump attempts to weaponize the justice system against his political opponents with Matt Gaetz at the helm, we could see incoming Senator Adam Schiff as our shadow attorney general, arguing against replacing our independent prosecutors with Trump loyalists. If Trump seeks to eliminate the Department of Education, Congresswoman Johanna Hayes, a former Teacher of the Year, could step up as shadow education secretary to loudly defend public education in the United States. If Trump orders Marco Rubio to hand Ukraine and much of Eastern Europe to Russian President Vladimir Putin, Congressman Greg Meeks, as Shadow Secretary of State, could be a strong voice in support of maintaining international relationships and protecting democracy at home and abroad. Senator Michael Bennett as Shadow Treasury Secretary, and Congresswoman Susan DelBene as Shadow Commerce Secretary could help ensure the middle class and small businesses have a voice in government and call out Trump's proposed tax cuts for billionaires and corporations. As Shadow Defense Secretary, Congressman Adam Smith, a great representative for the people of Washington and not a Fox News host, could counter Trump's threat to use military force against his political opponents and work to ensure that the Department of Defense stays loyal to the Constitution and not some wannabe dictator. And Senator Tammy Duckworth could argue against cuts to the Department of Veterans Affairs that would delay the benefits and care our service members have so rightly earned. If Trump hands over the EPA to big oil ally Lee Zeldin, we could see Congresswoman Kathy Castor pushing back for environmental protection and conservation to protect the air we breathe and the water we drink. And if Trump pushes to ban abortion nationwide, Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro could step in as Shadow Secretary of Health and Human Services to defend women's right to choose and argue against the gutting of Medicare by Trump and his cronies. Mr. Speaker, new times require new solutions. The Shadow Cabinet isn't just about opposing extreme MAGA attacks on our government. It's also about making clear what we stand for, not just what we're against.
So I'll close by saying this. The very people, and I'm going to make, no, I got right now 20 seconds to get to 35, which is my latest prediction of me being done. The very people calling us insurrectionists for the last 3-4 years are forming their own shadow government. The people who accuse you of being insurrectionists are the insurrectionists. The people who accuse you of being Hitlerian are the followers of Adolf Hitler because they imitate everything the man does or did. So there you go. Those last two videos, absolutely shocking to see. And it's amazing. Aaron was talking about it. It's still 35. When Aaron was talking about it, that video is going to be up. I mean, do you not realize that you have been accusing Americans of insurrection for the last 4 years, and you're talking about instituting a shadow government? And you put it on video? I told you, this is not James Bond we're talking about. They don't even rise to the level of a James Bond villain. They're too stupid. They don't qualify to be a James Bond villain. All right, love you all. That's good. 10:35. Oh, Rumble Rants. Look at all the people in Rumble Rants. Thank you, guys. Riffa Dota, $20. Gianna Jones, $10. Or in the Court, $10. Nitsua, $99, $10. Matriarch of the Rumble Rant, Tammy L. Margritter, $10. Buckeye Nut, 1968, $10. Gucci Buckeye, $10. Dave Souders, $5. Thank you guys so much. One last thing. Listen, join us in church on Sunday, right here, Foundation Church, 10 o'clock Eastern time. I'll take the stage at about 11, start preaching. You never know what I'll say. I'm unhindered. I don't care if they take my 501c3 away. I don't care. I'll say whatever it is that I want to say. It's Bible thumping, politics mixed in, of course, because the church should be addressing the world. Broke our record last week for online attendance. Let's see if we can break it again. I think it was 712 was our record. So let's see if we can break it again. Join us. Listen, Trump is great, but you got to have a savior, and his name is Jesus. Join us on Sunday morning. Aaron, you'll see Aaron leading worship somewhere around 10:15, 10:20, something like that. So Aaron, great singer. You'd see all of our other great singers. If you see Brett's wife potentially up there, she's up there at least every other week. But anyway, love you guys. So join us this week at Foundation Church starting at 10 o'clock Eastern on Sunday. Appreciate you guys. Love you guys. Thank you for being here tonight on what seems to be a busy Friday night. Thank you for scheduling this time with us. Stick around for the post game. I'll be in the chat during the post game. Listen, stick around for the last three videos that I'll have to do with lions. It's unbelievable. It's great. My daughter sent them to me from TikTok. I love them. You got to watch them. They're so cool. Appreciate you guys. Love you guys. See you on Sunday morning. If not, I'll see you Monday night. God bless you. What if it's a new thing if I tell you that you are supposed to prosper, that you are supposed to be wealthy? That's Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. The word just told you that new thing. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Is that a new thing for you that you need to receive it? Well, I believe that poverty is an attribute. No, Jesus became poor. And then they quote Jesus saying, he doesn't have a place to lay his head. He became poor for you, not for you to emulate the poorness. That would be like you emulating sin. He became sin, so now you sin. He became poor, so now you're poor.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug